Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps you have heard it said that practice makes perfect. It's a great idea. If we do something over and over again, we become better at it all the time. Especially that's true with music. There's an old joke about two men that met on the street in New York City. And one asked the other, "Do you know how to get to Carnegie Hall?" And the other fellow said, "Of course I do. You practice a lot." Practice, though, can be an insatiable demand upon us. It can be a constant pressure that we always do better and improve and be perfect. You just have to look at Christina Aguilera, the way she sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl. And you can see how quickly somebody that's a big star can make a mistake. Practice makes perfect, but none of us are perfect. What was Jesus doing when he said this? "You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," as it's portrayed on the front of our bulletin today. Was he making things harder for us? Was Jesus reinterpreting the commands of God in a more stringent manner so that we have to be more on the ball as Christians than in his day? Or was Jesus trying to get us to despair? Trying to get us to give up. Trying to get us to stop trying so hard because we are never going to reach that ideal of perfection. Nobody's perfect. Jeffrey Gibbs, who wrote the Concordia commentary about these passages, indicates that Jesus is not trying to give us a comprehensive teaching about the law of God. Nor is he trying to reinterpret it or change it in any way. Nor is he trying to supersede it like Muhammad does when he takes the Quran and says, "These are the real laws, and the Bible is beneath those, and the Old Testament beneath those. Follow this new way, the Quran." Gibbs says that Jesus is really trying to give us the kernel of what the law is really saying. You can kind of sense it in the writings of Leviticus. Leviticus is where many people bog down when they try to read the whole Bible. They get as far as Leviticus and they go, "Boy, this is really tough sledding here. I think I'm going to stop." But look at those just laws there. You leave some grapes on the vine. You leave some grain on the ground so that somebody that's hungry at least could go out there and get something to eat. You think about your neighbor and you don't try to get as much profit as you can for yourself. The spirit of the law is love. And Jesus is expanding upon the ideal of love, the ethics of love. He's not trying to make it harder to love or to take life away from us. But he's trying to make it impossible for us to live without him and without God. We all want to get even sometimes. Even if we've gotten to the point in maturity where we don't have constant road rage when somebody cuts us off or runs through a red light or something like that, we still get a little pushed, don't we? We still get a little annoyed at the way people don't do it right. And we sometimes get to the breaking point. Sometimes get to the point of saying, enough! Don't do that to me anymore. How can God be so unreasonable that He wouldn't understand how limited we are? When Jesus says to turn the other cheek, how many cheeks does He think we have? When Jesus says, lose lawsuits. When somebody demands something of you, rudely, give them twice as much as they ask for. Walk 2 miles, go the extra mile with them. And then, if this weren't enough, He says, love your enemies and pray for those who are giving you a really hard time. By doing this, Jesus shows us that love is the law. And He shows us the heart of God, who makes it rain on the just and the unjust, who lets the sun shine on the good and the evil. God treats them all the same. When we think of love, it's very easy for us to love those who love us. It's very easy to build our love on a conditional foundation. As long as they're good, we're going to treat them with good. But if they're evil, we are going to give them back just what they gave to us. You know, do unto others as they did unto you. That's not the golden rule. But Jesus says it's different than that. God's heart is big, and He loves even those who don't love Him. And God wants us to build on a foundation of unconditional love. This is what He did when He sent His Son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But that doesn't change the law. God still demands perfection. Now here's what happens. With Jesus' demands, you get fewer and fewer people. The more He says, but I say to you, you've heard it was said, but I say to you, and by the time He's done, there isn't anybody who can love the way you're supposed to love except Him. And so what ends up happening is He ends up alone on a cross, bearing the sins of the whole world, because He's the only one that can actually take the demands of God and fulfill them. But there's a foundation that lasts forever. The righteousness of Christ, which then Jesus, after His resurrection, turns around and distributes to all who believe in His name. You get the grace and forgiveness of God to build your life upon. That's the only foundation that's going to last, says St. Paul. You can try Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death. You can try to build on those, but they don't work. You can try getting even every time you are wrong, you get back at the person. But this is not a foundation of peace. That's what's got people in the Middle East all stirred up right now. It's on the news everywhere. Somebody gets murdered by somebody and they're retaliating for that murder, and this is what's got everything in turmoil over there, getting even. Getting rich doesn't last. Buildings and monuments don't last. Even wisdom, being wise and being able to figure out anything and being the one everybody goes to when you need some advice, even that doesn't last. For God's, it's written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Getting even doesn't work, but reconciling does. Because if you can make your enemy your friend, then you have no enemy. Sounds good. Getting rich doesn't work, but works of love do. Storing up treasure in heaven where moth or rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Buildings and monuments don't help people remember us. But if God remembers us, we're remembered forever. And wisdom of the world doesn't last, but God's word lasts forever. And His word looks foolish sometimes. Up at Woodbury Lutheran Church, where I was 2 weeks ago, they had a whole sermon series on fools for Christ. Getting rid of all worldly wisdom and putting your trust in what Jesus says. And in Jesus' ways, the ways of the Father in heaven. Did anybody ever do a... Anybody old enough to have done a three-legged race? Anybody ever been in one of those? Okay. We should really do one of those again someday soon. You tie your leg to the leg of your partner and you try to run. And if you aren't together in the whole thing, you probably are going to fall down. But isn't that our life as Christians? Bound to Christ in our baptism, we try to run forward with Him in His ways. And He is so much better than we are. But if we win with Him, we win, even though we aren't perfect. If He is beside us and tied to us, we gain His perfection. First by faith, but then by the power of the Holy Spirit in a sanctified life, we learn to be like Christ. And we learn to go where He goes, to the poor and the needy and the troubled. We learn to care about who He cares about. We learn to pray as He prays. And we learn to love as the will of God put forth in the Old Testament in the Ten Commandments. And we learn to love for the sake of all being together. Not as enemies, but as dear, dear friends of God. In Jesus' name, may you build on that foundation of unconditional love for your life and in your life. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.